All right, Exodus 20 here this morning. Exodus 20. We're talking about one of these short verses of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Start with verse 12. I'll take the time, since we're getting a little late start here, to read back down through all these Ten Commandments. It says in verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill." All right, so this is the Hebrew word for murder. And I want for us to just kind of look at some Bible answers for what many of the, the critics of Christianity will often say. You know, they'll have these signs, just before somebody is executed, who is this serial killer. "Thou shalt not kill." They'll quote the Bible. Boy, they love quoting the Bible when it's for their purpose. But they'll say, "Thou shalt not kill." Okay, so what about the man who's up for execution, who killed, several people? All right, so the justice doesn't take place there. Notice with me Genesis chapter 9, and of course this is before the Old Testament law. All right, so first of all, capital punishment is not forbidden in that command, "Thou shalt not kill." Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. This is right after the flood. And of course, this is when God is establishing the element of human government. In fact, verse 4 says, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." All right, so we shouldn't eat meat with the blood. It says, "Surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." I want you to consider that this command, "Thou shalt not kill," actually is designed by God to protect the sanctity of human life. And again, that's why God established government. You don't need to take time to look at it, but Romans 13, verse 1, in relation to submission to government, it says, "The government beareth not the sword in vain." And I believe when you look in the context there, it's talking about controlling crime and all that. And so the sword was given to the government to control that. And in fact, I really believe if we saw more capital punishment, we would see less murders. Because I guess if I kill this person, then I guess I'll just spend forever and the rest of my life in prison. But I want you to consider also, though, under the law, Exodus 21, right after this law was given, Exodus 21, verses 12 through 14. Exodus 21, verses 12 through 14. It says, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death." All right, so again, we're talking about smiting somebody there. "And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee." Of course, this is a reference to the cities of refuge that were established in the land of Canaan. "But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die." So notice here, accidental, we'll talk about this in a moment here, accidental killings are not included in, are not referenced in Exodus 20. So if somebody accidentally kills someone, that does not mean they are to be put to death. In fact, I think of a man in my wife's home church years ago. He was driving drove a bread truck delivery or something. I can't remember now, but anyway, as he was driving along the highway or along the road there, somebody on a bike was kind of swerved out in front of him as he was passing, and he killed the guy. I mean, he was devastated. I mean, that was not presumptuous murder. Even as you see here again in verse 14, "If a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die." All right, so we're talking about premeditated murders as far as that's concerned. Also, chapter 22, verse 2. This is a good verse for, especially in the big cities, where somebody's defending themselves. They kill somebody in the process of somebody robbing them, and they're in trouble more than the thief would have been. It says, "If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." All right, so if somebody breaks in and ended up getting shot in the process, then that's their responsibility. They're the ones responsible for getting shot there. So again, we see here that was capital punishment was established before the law was given, the Old Testament law, and it was confirmed under the law. Also, I want you to consider not included in thou shalt not kill is war for righteous causes. I want you to consider Hitler, that was not a righteous cause. He was expanding his empire. All of these dictators, that's not for righteous causes. Notice with me Deuteronomy 20. Deuteronomy 20. In fact, while you're turning there, Exodus 15:3 calls the Lord a man of war. The Lord is his name. So the Lord, in the context of Pharaoh and his army being killed in the Red Sea, the Lord is called a man of war. Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 4. In fact, pretty much this whole chapter deals with regulations on war. So if God is opposed to a righteous war, why did he give Israel a whole chapter on how to conduct the regulations and so on for war? When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So God is going to go with them as their enemies are attacking them. And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And again, this entire chapter, and then it talks about who's exempt from battle, war with outsiders and so on. Why would God give instructions and regulations on war if he was opposed to this war? In fact, what I thought was interesting, notice Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, just before Joshua leads Israel in the battle against Jericho. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I want you to see what the Lord is called here. Joshua 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Which side are you on? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Notice what the Lord is called here. I believe this is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's captain of the host of the Lord. In fact, one of the most common titles for the Lord in the Bible is the Lord of hosts. He is the leader of the hosts of heaven. In fact, Revelation 20 says that he's coming back as the leader of the armies of heaven. Of course, we're going to be one of those armies as we come back with the Lord. But again, he's called the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. All right, so again, this is why I say this is the Lord pre-incarnate. And said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Oh, that sounds like what the Lord said to Moses back in Exodus 3. So again, I want you to notice here, war for righteous causes is not forbidden in the command, thou shalt not kill. Also, self-defense. I won't take time to look at it for the sake of time here today, but remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Sell whatever and buy a sword. Why would you need a sword if there may not be a reason? Again, Luke 22 says, I think it was Peter who said, here's two swords, and the Lord says, that's enough. I mean, you don't have to have, this compound that's well-armed and everything. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having self-defense. So I want you to consider, even in a time of persecution, if somebody comes and has plans to attack my family, I have a right to defend. Self-defense is not forbidden by the command, thou shalt not kill. And by the way, all these people who, again, with these picket signs and all that, that is such a hypocritical thing. If somebody was coming into their house, they would try to defend themselves. I want you to think about also, those who are opposed to, bearing arms. There's a whole reason why, a liberal government wants to take our weapons. There's a reason for that. It's because if no one has a weapon, then they can come in and take over more readily. So again, self-defense is not forbidden in the command, thou shalt not kill. So again, we see this. All right, so if these who get caught up in the argument, take our weapons. All right, so what happens when the criminal who doesn't give up their weapons comes to their house? Well, they're going to try to defend themselves. So again, self-defense. Also, those who love hunting, Mike, and others, hunting of animals is not included in thou shalt not kill. Killing an animal for food is not included. You know, people for the ethical treatment of animals, PETA, the real name biblically is people eating tasty animals. PETA is a liberal organization. Peter was told by God three times in Acts 10, rise, kill, and eat. What was in the sheet? We probably could call it a tart from heaven. All kinds of animals, including unclean animals that Peter has never eaten before because he's a good Jew. Oh, Lord, you're telling me I can have pork now? You're telling me I can have bacon now? And that's where Peter has struggled with some of that, because around his Jewish friends, he would shun the Gentiles and wouldn't eat bacon with them. But when the Jews weren't around, boy, he was just enjoying having a good pork roast and all that kind of stuff with the Gentiles. So again, we see here hunting of animals is not included. And as I've already mentioned, accidental killings. Murder has the idea of an intent to kill, as we saw. And again, as we think about the city of refuge and all those things, the example in Scripture, of course, right from the start, is we have the example of Cain. Notice here Genesis chapter 4, as we understand scripturally, and again, one of the best ways to interpret Scripture is to go back to the original mention, and then you understand what the Bible is talking about. So again, we understand thou shalt not kill. Again, it's the Hebrew word for murder. We're talking about the intent to kill. Not self-defense, not war for righteous causes, not capital punishment, all those things that we've already mentioned. All right, so notice here, again, this original mention of killing here. Genesis 4, verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, again, this is the root cause here. Cain would rather kill his brother, as we see in this passage, than get right with God. Notice again, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Well, the Lord doesn't play favorites. That's not what it says here. If I'm obedient, then I am a candidate for God's blessing. God does not just throw out his blessings arbitrarily. And unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. All right, so notice Cain and to his offering, he did not have respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. That's one reason right there. We need to make sure we deal with our anger, because it leads to depression. Notice his countenance fell. His facial expression fell. That speaks of depression. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? So the Lord is going to deal now with Cain here. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, all you have to do is do what I have asked as far as a sacrifice. If you do well, you will be accepted just like Abel. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, some say that he's supposed to rule over Abel. I believe that God is addressing here the sin that he needs to rule over here. And it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain, notice, rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now let me ask you, why did God not take Cain's life at this point? Let me ask another question as a follow-up question. Was the Old Testament law given yet, thou shalt not kill? I want you to consider the reason why God did not take Cain's life at this point is because there was no established law that he would be accountable to. And yet, notice here, he set a mark upon Cain. This does not mean that Cain got away with it. I want you to consider here, in fact, God even told him that he's going to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Cain experienced the consequences of this, but, of course, then his response there. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Well, God could have taken your life. But again, you notice here this original mention, he rose up and slew his brother. This was not out in the field. Cain is throwing rocks and removing rocks so he can plant something, and all of a sudden Abel is hit with one of the rocks and dies. No, this was meditated murder, meditated killing of Abel. In fact, I notice Numbers 35 then as well. In the context of specific instructions on the cities of refuge, I want you to notice a statement here as far as in the context of the cities of refuge and all that. Numbers 35. All right, so establishing these six cities of refuge. Verse 15 tells us how many cities. Both sides of the Jordan River. All right, so notice here. So again, the cities of refuge for the one who accidentally kills someone. He's not. For example, the example is given here in verse 17. If he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. So he's on purpose smiting him. Verse 16 talks about smiting with an instrument of iron so that he dies. He is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. So again, we're talking about the difference between accidentally killing somebody. And they can go to the city of refuge. And by the way, if they leave the city of refuge before the priest dies, the avenger of blood can hunt them down. They had to stay in that city of refuge. That was their place of protection. Notice here then, drop down to verse 29. It says, so these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. Notice we're talking about witnesses. One witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. All right, so all these rich and the famous kill somebody, and they don't have to die. Oh, it's always interesting after. They're found, or acquitted or whatever the term is. It's interesting. Then they take him back to court and they go through a civil court, a civil case. What are you trying to say? They killed somebody, but we're trying to get them on a lesser sentence. Again, take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, the one who's struck with an iron, who's struck with a weapon of wood and rock, whatever, a stone. It says, verse 32, and you shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land unto the death of the priest. Notice, if they leave the city of refuge, then the avenger of blood can hunt them down. But again, I want you to notice here the difference. Accidental and premeditated murder. Now, with that said, let me just mention some examples, I believe, as we see in our modern day, violations of this command, thou shalt not kill. First of all, abortion. I want you to notice Exodus 21 once again. There's a passage in that context. I want you to see this. It's interesting. They say that abortion is a woman's choice. Not according to this passage right here. Exodus 21. And if this passage was enforced here in America, we would not have abortion anymore because no one would want to take a chance. Notice it says, verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow. Right? So she has a premature delivery, but yet the child does not die. Right? So no mischief follow. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Verse 25 has a very good application for abortion. Burning for burning. So some of these chemical abortions and all that literally burns the child. Burning for burning, wound for wound. Do you realize that some of these aborted babies are cut into pieces? Stripe for stripe. Notice here, by way of application to abortion in our modern day, If the abortion doctor does these things, then he should receive the same things. Like I say, that would totally take care of abortion in America. I'm thankful that there are abortion clinics closing. You know, every once in a while I drive past Planned Parenthood there on 48th Street in Lincoln to head down to my route. First of all, I don't think there's Catholics out there walking up and down the sidewalk with their prayer beads. I don't think that's accomplishing anything. But yet, I want you to consider. Right across the street, I don't remember what it's Right to Life. I don't remember what group it is, but right across the street from Planned Parenthood, right there on 48th Street, is a clinic that helps women who have an unplanned pregnancy. They're trying to save babies on the one side of the street. On the other side, they're literally killing babies. Thou shalt not kill. I really believe, and in fact, I've heard testimonies of nurses and sometimes even doctors who have come finally face to face with the reality of what they're doing. And I've heard the testimonies of some of the extreme grief and guilt that they've experienced as they come face to face with the reality of what they have done to sometimes thousands of babies. Abortion, euthanasia, sometimes called mercy killing. It's the hastening of death. Euthanasia literally means talking about good death. So in other words, if you're suffering, you have a right to die a good death. Now, there are some governments around the world, and America, actually some states in America, also hasten death. But I want you to consider hospice is one of the elements of that. It's been exposed by nurses inside hospice that they will actually increase doses of morphine to hasten the death of somebody who's dying. You need to hurry up and get them out of the way because somebody else needs our care. Literally, that's what that's about. You know, they're weighing down the system. You know, the longer they're on life support, you know, the more money we have to put that we can't put towards somebody else. That's America. Oregon, I know, is one state that does a lot of that. You know, Dr. Kevorkian, Dr. Death. I mean, there's more of that going on in America than we want to admit. Also, suicide is a violation of thou shalt not kill. You think about King Saul. Did Saul go to hell? No. He was a believer in God. But I want you to consider it was wrong for him to take his own life. Why? So that he wouldn't be humiliated by the enemy. That was his whole reason. Suicide. What you think also in our world of religious killings? Islam and Roman Catholicism are two examples. I believe Hinduism is also very guilty of this in India. I mean, we've heard, you know, from a missionary about that. There's a lot of persecution going on. In fact, I want to share a letter regarding India here very soon. But I want you to consider, though, that these religious killings, I believe they are going to have extra suffering in hell because of what they're doing in the name of their God. You think about the Crusades and the Inquisition. Some of that Inquisition and Crusades were actually leveled against Anabaptists. I want you to consider that Roman Catholicism, in fact, Roman Catholicism even attacked Jews. Supposedly, you know, there was a cause against, you know, Islam, Muslims, when in reality they were killing off, the Roman Catholic Church was killing off Jews as well as Muslims. So again, these religious killings, you know, school shootings. You know, I think people would think twice about going into school and shooting knowing that there may be a teacher who has a gun in the desk. I still have not figured this out. A drug and gun-free zone. Well, evidently, these criminals, these killers, can't read those signs. Because they smuggle those guns into schools all the time. Stupid. That's what we've become. We've become dumb in America. A criminal is not going to give up their weapon. In fact, there's times when you hear of testimonies of some of these students who kill in their schools. I mean, they've planned it. they actually get enjoyment out of it in some cases. So again, I want you to consider these school shootings. But more than that, I want you to think about this. How many video games I've read of... In fact, here's why some of these killers are able to pull the trigger so easily, shooting somebody. It's because they've practiced on a video game. Now, I'm trying to remember. I think I've read somewhere before that in some cases, they have, for police training and all that, they actually have simulated shooting and all those things. From what I remember reading, I want you to think about this, though. That's the same type of concept that's involved with some of these video games. I'm trying to remember, auto theft or whatever. Some of these, they have, those are some of the worst violent things on the market. But also Hollywood movies. Rambo! You think about this. We have filled our minds with violence. I want you to think about what God said in relation to the days of Noah. Notice with me in Matthew 24. Genesis 6. I was just going to mention Genesis 6. I'm just going to mention for the sake of time, Matthew 24. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be the time when Christ comes. All right, so what was it like in the days of Noah? Notice Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. His only thought was evil. That's pretty severe. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. Notice this. The earth was filled with violence. Can you imagine the murder rate before the flood? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You notice here, God announces this and then gives the earth 120 years to repent. Of course, they don't. But I want you to think about the reality of America. America accepts murderers more than Christ. You think about the time of the crucifixion. Acts chapter 3, that's exactly what Paul says to the religious leaders of his day. You wanted a murderer and crucified the Lord of glory. I believe if the real Christ, not this imagination thing of Christ, that the making of Christ after their own thinking, their own imagination, if the real Christ were in America today, he would not be accepted. I believe he would be crucified by most Americans. Again, I want you to think about this. We will let murderers off and have nothing to do with Christ. So what is the cause of murder? Notice John 8, verse 44. Why is it that we see so much murder in our world today? John 8, 44, I believe, gives us a clue. Because if we have rejected God's truth as a nation, notice it says in John 8, verse 44, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You notice again, the root cause of murder in our society is a lack of truth. Okay, let me go beyond that. Not a lack of truth, it's a rejection of truth. America has had the truth, access to the truth, but they have rejected it. In fact, Romans 1 also refers to this. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Remember that word hold is talking about trying to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. All right, so because they've suppressed that truth, as you go down through this passage here, it says, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I've mentioned this before, that word fool is from a Greek word that we get the word moron from. Our culture is moronic. It doesn't make sense. and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. So again, they replaced God, the truth of God, with idolatry. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice this, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Drop down to verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, again, a rejection of God's truth, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And notice then in verse 29, full of murder. Because America has rejected the truth, we are full of murder today. Now, what's the consequence of murder? Revelation 21 and 22 says hell. That's the consequence of murder. Now, what I've been emphasizing, though, with the Ten Commandments is not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Notice Matthew 5. All right, so thou shalt not kill, that's the letter of the law. So what did Jesus say was the spirit of the law? Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. All right, so that's the Old Testament law. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, if I remember right, Reka means empty-headed fool. I forgot to look that up again. Shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. You notice again, the spirit of the law is anger. So let me ask you, what was the root cause of Cain killing Abel? It wasn't just, rock. Guns kill. No, they don't. People kill using those guns. Like we saw in the Old Testament. It doesn't matter if you use a stone. It doesn't matter if you use an instrument of wood, an instrument of iron, or gun, knife. It doesn't matter. All right, so I think there's some things that could kill that. The government really starts, I could kill somebody with that chair probably if I beat them enough, long enough. So, all right, so the government needs to come now and round up all these chairs because, after all, it could be a deadly weapon. Notice 1 John chapter 3. Again, that's how moronic everything has become. They've become fools. 1 John chapter 3. So again, the spirit of the law is anger in our hearts. Cain had anger towards Abel. He had wrath. Wrath is the Bible word. Before he ever killed Abel, rising up against him. Notice verse 11 of 1 John 3. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. All right, so here's the New Testament explanation of the first mention of this back in Genesis 4. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. All right, so when Cain died, because he never repented, I believe he went to hell. Notice he slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's why I say Cain would rather kill his brother than get right with God. Again, his brothers were righteous, his works were evil. He refused to repent. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, let me just point out here, there are some brothers that are easier to get along with than others. But yet, if there's hatred in our heart, notice, there's a serious concern there. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a, here's the spirit of the law, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's why I seriously wonder sometimes about somebody's salvation when there's a so-called brother in the church who will constantly demonstrate hatred. I'm not talking about just, disagreements. I don't believe everyone has to totally agree on everything. Now, the Bible does talk about us being one, of one mind and all that. I'm not talking about the fact that we have to totally agree on everything. But I want you to consider, if somebody is constantly angry and is constantly demonstrating wrath in the church, they're known for business meetings. Boy, they stand up and, they'll just be angry. And you have to wonder if that man's even saved. Why? Because if there's hatred toward anyone, towards a brother, that's what the Bible says, they do not have eternal life in them. And again, I have a couple of men in mind that I dealt with. One of them was a deacon in a church. And remember our son, oldest son, very young at that time. I told him to stay in the office because I knew exactly what was going to happen in that business, quote-unquote business meeting. Well, he disobeyed Dad and was standing there looking in the back window. He said Dad was just standing there. The other guy was, come on. That's how he describes it. He was red-faced. It's like, okay, I wonder, was he a brother? Was he a brother? And I've mentioned before, the man would take me for a ride every once in a while, tell me that I'm in the flesh. While he's screaming and hollering so loud in his truck, people are looking down the street. I wonder who's in the flesh. I'm just sitting here quietly. I wonder who's in the flesh. I wonder if he's even saved. Father, I pray that you'd help us to not just look at the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to even now examine our hearts to see if there's anyone that we have anger towards. Father, sometimes it is hard to forgive. You never say it's easy. Father, I pray that you'd help us to again examine your word on the basis of the spirit of the law. In Jesus' name, amen.